It is Trinity Sunday, so for those of you who are coming here to look for an explanation of the Trinity and a better understanding, I hope you were paying attention to Artie, because that's as far as it's going today. I'd like to wish you all a happy Father's Day. Thank you. Guys, bask in this moment. Okay, now get back to work. Father's Day is one of those incredible times where we acknowledge and celebrate the gift of the men in our lives who have served that kind of role model for us. There are certain biases that go along, I think, with fathers and mothers in terms of our understanding of how those roles are fulfilled. You know, fathers are supposed to be working, they're supposed to be fixing things, they're supposed to be doing things like that. But that's not, as we well know, always the case. You know, fathers aren't always the strong, silent type. Fathers aren't always the ones that can fix everything. Fathers aren't always the ones who are the ones that you can stand behind and know that there will be a safe place for you. We live in a world of biases. A world where we create these stereotypes in terms of understanding the different things that might take place within the world. We have stereotypes about fathers, we have stereotypes about mothers, stereotypes about teenagers, stereotypes about, you know, 2 and 3 year olds. We have stereotypes about people who might be a little chubby. We have stereotypes about people who might be really skinny. We have stereotypes about people according to their skin color, about the way they dress, about the jobs they have, about the places they live, about the affiliations they have. We have stereotypes about all these things. We have stereotypes about the Christian community. Of course, we don't have stereotypes about ourselves. But we have stereotypes about those other Christians, don't we? Because we take and we look at the way other people might choose to celebrate and praise the life that God has given them, and we have stereotypes that fit into place with that. We have stereotypes for non-Christian religions also. We have stereotypes within this community in terms of what people are supposed to do and how they're supposed to act and the roles they're supposed to take. For instance, I could come and I could sit right here, just like you, and watch. But there's not a lot going on, is there, Ron? And the silence seems a little uncomfortable, too, because we're expecting things to be done and we're expecting things to be done in a certain way. And they fit sometimes within kind of a stereotypical expression of what we expect our world to be and the roles that people play. In today's gospel lesson, we have the Great Commission, the Christian job resume, job description. Thank you. It's those big words I have troubles with. It is the job description of Christians. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's how it's supposed to work. So what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to load up here, go around with a super soaker, and just sprinkle the world with water and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there we have it. We've done our job. We've done exactly what God has asked us to do. We can go around with a fire hose, perhaps, because it reaches a little bit further, to be able to indoctrinate the world into Christianity, to give them that gift of grace that God has given them. That's the job description, right? No. You see, the whole idea and the understanding of the sacrament of baptism is what we use to be able to bring people into the Christian faith, to make them Christians. That doesn't make them disciples. Discipleship's a whole different story. Making a person A disciple is really about how we integrate people into the community of faith, how we learn to be able to bring people to understand who we are and what our lives are all about. A couple of weeks ago, I asked those of you who had those really smart phones to make them even smarter and to figure out how to put down in there that you were here in this place at that time to allow the world to know that this was a part of your life. Some of you may have forgotten to do that again when you came in here today. If you need to, you can do it now. That's fine. Last week, I gave you business cards to hand out just to give to somebody to say, hey, this is where I am at with my faith. You may still have them in your pocket, in your purse, in the back of the car, on the floor somewhere. You may have thrown them away, or you may have used them. If you've used them, God bless you, and I'll give you some more. But you see, our lives are about making disciples, or at least they're supposed to be. Our lives are supposed to be about the whole action of stepping forth out of our world and allowing the people around us to understand who we are and what our faith is about. Making disciples is an active pursuit in which we do to allow the world to know exactly what our faith is all about and how God is the true center of our existence, center of our lives, the most important component of who we are. Making disciples, it's not my job. Not by itself. It is my job, and it's everybody else's job here. You see, the thing that people sometimes don't understand is when you joined this congregation, when you became a member of Living Water, you gave up your right to sit down in that seat and sit and watch and go, oh, wasn't that a lovely day today? The choir was simply magnificent, and the sermon was just extraordinary, but isn't it always? Because when you stood before this congregation and you said before God that you will affirm your baptismal vows and stand forth as a member of this congregation, you're not here as a spectator anymore. You're not here as a guest anymore. You are here as an active participant. You got a job, man, and it's time to get to work. Your job is to stand forth and leave this place and allow people to know exactly why it is that you're here. Your job is to go out and in conversations you have with other people, allow them to understand what it means to be a Christian in the context of the life that you live. Now, within the context of the life that you live, it doesn't mean that you need to go around spouting scripture or quoting things, because I know that's awfully intimidating, and my mind doesn't even have large blocks of scripture held to memory. And that doesn't mean you need to have a big Bible where you can read out of it to people to be able to preach to them about things. You see, when we share our experience of faith, when we go out to make disciples within this world, what we are doing is taking those gifts that God has blessed us with and we're using them for the betterment of the lives of the people around us. We're allowing the world to understand how our faith has shaped us, how our faith guides us, how our faith has enhanced who we are, and how our faith has allowed God's love to permeate through everything that we do and everything that we say, most of the time. Doesn't make us perfect people. Doesn't mean we're always going to say the right thing. Doesn't always mean that we're going to come across to the world as we would like a Christian to come across to the world. But it's not an excuse for us to stop trying. God has blessed us in innumerable ways. God has blessed us with family. God has blessed us with friends. God has blessed us with the ability to step forth within this world to be able to communicate with people about those great things that have happened within our lives. And we do that all the time. We talk about the things we're passionate about. If you love the Diamondbacks, for the five people in this state who do, Artie being one of them, you tell people about it. If you have a hobby that you think is just the greatest thing in the world, you share that with people. You might not talk about it, but you might give them a representation of what that hobby might be. And if you're a person of faith, then you share that faith with the people around. You don't need to preach. You don't need to control. You don't need to convert. You might just simply invite. Come see what I found. Join me sometime to see who my friends are within this community. Understand that God has blessed you. And that blessing that you've been given is a blessing that needs to be shared with the world around you, not just something you keep to yourself and say, oh, thank you, God, I'm so blessed. I just feel wonderful about life. It is the blessings that you share. It is the love that you give. It is how you care. It is how you take those things that God has placed within your heart and to use them to be able to enhance the world around you, to be able to improve people's lives, to allow people to understand what it means to be filled with this gift of faith. When you do that, then you begin to make disciples. Then you begin to allow the world to understand the blessings that God has placed in your life. And then the world can better see and understand the faith that has so much transformed you into the person you are. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That baptism is the gift that God blesses us with. It is one of those ways that God's love comes down to us and stays with us. And it is that love that God asks us to share as we go about the business of making disciples in this world. Don't ever doubt that you don't have what you need, because God's given you everything you need. You've been given a job to do. Go do it. Amen.